It's just one of them days where everything.
Spaced Out Radio is glad to be part of the United Public Radio Network family as we round out your night 7 days a week, starting at 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern. Our goal is to give you that paranormal listening option that you've been missing all these nights. You can join me, Dave Scott, Monday through Friday, and James Tyson on the weekend. We promise to deliver the fastest 3 hours of radio right to wherever you are. And check out our website as well, spacedoutradio.com. Are you experienced?
You are listening to United Public Radio Network, UPRNTalkRadio.com, 107.5 New Orleans.
Yeah, I'm feeling good right now. It's just one of them days where everything going right. Everybody come together, let's go, yo.
Hey, I'm feeling alright. Just one of them days, everything go right. Now, like to keep this vibe throughout the day, if that's okay.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Monday night's edition of Flipside Light. We got a cheering section going on. Plus, you missed the good voice before we came live, the one I was torturing Lily with. I hope everybody's having a good evening. I know, you know, I've been talking to a lot of people over the last few days, and I know a lot of people are antsy and a little nervous about North Korea and the Middle East and Russia and China, and we're going to get to all of that. But I was listening to a gentleman today talk about the division in the United States, and the gentleman... He used to be an IRA. He was a member of the IRA. Actually, was a very high-ranking member of the IRA. And he said America today reminds him of how it was then, just before the start of the Catholic-Protestant wars. He said the two sides had gotten to the point where they just couldn't talk. Anytime they even got around each other, it was fist and fighting and, you know, being as brutal and as mean as it can be. And at first, when I heard him say this, no, that's just not a good study. So... Dumb Joe decides to go take a look on the internet today, and I'm surfing, and almost every time the two parties' followers have gotten together in the last 18 months, there has been some type of violence. What do you think, Lily? Is it? Have we gotten pointed past the point of bipartisanism?
Weren't you just talking about Catholic and Protestants?
Yeah, the guy is the guy who used to be a ranking member of the IRA. You know, when the war was going on back in the day between the Protestants and the Catholics, what was it, 50 years ago, 40 years ago? They were going on. He said just before the war started there, between the two of them, before all the terrorist acts started and all the killing started and all the violence started, he said the two sides had gotten – see, before that they could talk and get along and at least try to work some differences out. But they had gotten to the point where – they couldn't work anything out. There was no more talking. And any time any of them got together in the same area, there was fighting, chaos, and destruction. And he said that the United States is in the same place right now as they were 40 years ago when the war started, or when the terrorism started. I guess you shouldn't call it a war because it was just one side trying to blow the other side up until they came to an agreement. But they're saying it's the same thing. Berkeley now, three times in the last month, every time they've gotten together, there's been a fight. Somebody punching somebody out, somebody beating somebody up, somebody screaming racial slurs, somebody doing something. Every time Trump has a rally, there's violence, the left comes in. The left has a rally, there's violence. I mean, why is it we can't have anything without violence anymore? Black Lives Matter marches, there's violence. He's right. We're at that tipping point. I mean, if we can't solve our problems with we're talking anymore, and every time we get together, we fight. Sooner or later, it's going to get bad. It's just a matter of time. I don't know when the left decided that it was okay to solve their problems with violence. I thought they were always anti-violence. I mean, with the exception of maybe Hillary Clinton, we know she's a hawk. But I mean, really?
I don't think either side is actually anti-violence. I think they're just kind of anti the other side. But the difference is, can we talk about the degradation of America? I don't want to say it started with Bush because it kind of really started under Clinton. But nowadays, I don't want to link everything together, but I have to say, like, this whole safe space crap where I can't tolerate other people's views because it offends me to the point where we're not listening to other people. We'd rather put our headphones in our ears and listen to our music than listen to the other side. So then, when you are presented with an opposing view that you very much so dislike, you don't know how to handle it. And this has to be a generational thing. Not blaming millennials explicitly, but it's a matter of how, because everything gets worse every single generation. Something gets better, but something also gets worse. And so now that we have the ability to kind of block out people that we don't want to be around, to the point where we're having these little safe zones where you can't offend me, and we're using psychological terms of, oh, I've been triggered, screw you. Okay, that gets on my nerves so much. We don't have the same conflict resolution skills. So each side is getting to the point of violence, even though they like to quote MLK and Gandhi, even though Gandhi specifically said, violence is not the answer to anger. Anger is the indication of displeasure. So we've lost so much in the past 40, 50 years, quite frankly. Let's say the hard downslide started 20 years ago. But we simply lost our conflict resolution skills and are just resorting to violence like common apes rather than the human and all that's supposed to be all advanced.
Well, then it's going to come down to which side wins or which side splits or how it splits out. Our governments will never let our nation split, so that means only one side or the other eventually will have to give way to the other one permanently. I don't see how that's going to
work. The nation split a long time ago when we had that whole little flip between the parties when Republicans became Democrats and Democrats became Republicans and people literally moved around so that you're supposed to have all these states that are this way or that way. But that's why I'm a little disappointed with Trump. Trump was supposed to be the guy that could unite people behind mutual hatred, seeing as Democrats didn't like him and Republicans didn't like him either. But there's some
people. But the thing of it is, it's the politicians that don't like him, and the people like him. And see, that's the problem. And the politicians are feeling it. Both the Democrats and the Republicans in his last election were feeling it. The people like Trump. You know, right now his current approval, Reuters has got him at 50%. I've seen him as high as 55, as low as 45. But that's where his general approval rating is, around 50%. Now, we both know that all the polls were off by 10 to 15% on this guy every time they've had a poll on him. So really, truly, his overall country approval rate is probably around 65, 68%. It's not the country that's against him. The press would like you to think that, and we'll get into that in a few minutes, but that's not what actually is going on here. What you've got is fundamental Democratic politicians and fundamental GOP politicians want this guy gone because he's not the status quo. He's not going to play the game. He doesn't think it's cute that Congress makes money off the people's back. He doesn't think anything that Congress does is cute. He's just not your establishment president. He's not like Obama, who didn't want to make any waves anywhere. Obama just wanted to ride it out and hope for the best. Bush was basically the same kind of president. This guy is more like a Ronald Reagan or a Bill Clinton. He wants to be in the thick of shit. He wants to be involved in what's going on, and he doesn't really care if it pisses off his fellow politicians. But you know what? This is what they don't understand. This is what one of the biggest things the Democrats don't understand. Every time they talk bad about Trump, they hurt themselves because they are not listening to what their constituents are telling them. First off, the majority of Democrats want the party to work with Trump. There's been at least a dozen polls that said that now. Only the liberal base doesn't want to work with Trump. And every time they go against this, every time for the last 6 years, they've lost seats both in local government and in national government. And they just lost more seats. And they're going to lose more in 2018. They just not grasping the concept that the country itself, we the people, are tired of the little childish bullshit bickering that goes on in D.C. It's enough. So what you've been saying...
I would say that there's aspects of Trump that everybody likes. Outside of his core supporters, which also went along with the Koch brothers-funded fake green roots movement of the Tea Party, there are specific aspects that other people like, which is another reason why when I was still... Well, I registered as Republican by then. But when I was still, like, looking at the Democrats, like, with a glimmer of hope, I knew in a lot of the polls that people like to ignore that Bernie Sanders had a much better chance up against Trump than Hillary did because of certain policy positions like TPP, the trade deal, TPP, NAFTA, and CAFTA.
None of that even mattered. None of that even mattered because the media and the Democrats courted Trump because they figured that was the only candidate that Hillary could beat. All the other polls said Hillary couldn't beat any other GOP. She couldn't even beat Bernie Sanders. I mean, that Bernie Sanders, called poor.
Well, she couldn't without cheating.
Oh, man.
But the point I was trying to make is that there are points of agreement between those two candidates, one being Trump, who is populist, not really a Republican ideal anymore, but who's populist, not conservative, and then Bernie, who's an outright Democratic
socialist,
but still socialist all the same, who is the picture of the future of the Democratic Party in terms of the younger voters who will be around when everybody else dies. That is the future of your party. So then you had people, when you had so many of the Bernie voters who hated Hillary and loved Bernie's ideals enough to vote for Trump, who was contradictory to Bernie in a variety of ways, except for some of those trade deals, which directly impacts the American working class and middle class in terms of jobs and all that sort of thing. Those two were in line. You had enough progressive, you know, they call themselves progressive, fiscal progressives, but they're liberals, hardcore liberals, who saw enough of what they really needed and wanted in Trump to go to him. And then you have the actual true Republican base who supported him too. Yeah, you can have the high approval rating. There's things about Trump I even like in terms of the thing that I didn't like that Obama didn't do. Blame Congress all you want to, but if he was a better politician, they would have worked with him more. Let's ignore the whole black thing, even though that had a big thing to do with it. But in terms of actually saying that you're going to take action and taking action, cool. Obama could have said, I really wanted to act when I said the red line, the line in the sand, I meant it, but I was checked and balanced by Congress, right to your congressman, right to your senator. He didn't do that. It just went away. And it was incredibly embarrassing, but Trump went ahead and was like, okay, I'm going to do something. It wasn't as successful as we wanted, but he still did something. He still is taking position. Like we talked about Saturday, he's sending the Armada to North Korean waters, which is military positioning, which is what we need as Americans. So there are all these different aspects of Trump, and everybody can find something that they like him, even if they can't stand him. You're going to have a bunch of people who just won't deal with him at all, like all the people talking trash about the Easter fiasco, and oh my gosh, it was horrible. But anyway, it was genuinely bad. But there are a lot of aspects of Trump that a variety of different people can find in him that they like.
I think he's going to be okay. I think Trump's the least of our problems right now. I think we got other way bigger problems to deal with as a nation. There comes a point where we just have to kind of figure out what it is we can do to make everybody just kind of chill out and be part of, you know, part of it. Again, make everybody feel.
Have a crazy, crazy war where everybody's impassioned and embattled rather than, you know, the false flag.
More than likely what's going to happen is some big-ass war. So we can get the country united again. That's more than likely what's going to happen. The last time, the country wasn't this bad when 9/11 happened, but it was on its way to being this bad. For some reason, when we have a long stint of liberalism in our country, that everybody gets really pissy and cranky afterwards. When we get a long thing of Republicans, it's a different kind of mood. And that's why each party gets voted out every time. When the Republicans are in, after about 8 years of them, you've kind of felt like you need to take a long, hot shower. After 8 years of Democrats, you just want to walk up and punch your neighbor in the face.
Well, you have to look at the state in which the policies of each group puts people in. And we also have to consider this one book that you read in undergraduate for poli sci, which is Clash of Civilizations. As in, all right, so the bigger your group, the bigger the problem is, the smaller your group, the smaller the problem is. Like, villages becomes town, town becomes city becomes city becomes state becomes country, and da-da-da, globalization from that point on. And so if you're focusing on my neighbor is transgender versus the taxes in my state are crazy versus the country is in an economic depression versus the world is about to go to war, all those different problems are going to make you feel a certain way. So the Democratic Party for the past, you know, let's say 20, 30 years has been more of a domestic policy focused, as we saw with Obama, where I can't stand his foreign policy, but he did a lot of work domestically. Same thing with Clinton to an extent. While the two Bushes were highly foreign policy. So you have this disposition between a Republican rule, which is I'm really irritated with things that are going on in the world, versus Democratic rule, which is I'm really irritated with my neighbor. Like you said, I want to punch my neighbor in the face. And then you have the economic policies of both parties, where the Democrats tax and spend. That's just boilerplate how it boils down to. And then you have the Republicans who are like, I'm going to cut everything. I'm going to cut all the things that you really need. So you're going to have to focus on getting yourself together, because guess what? We got these big foreign issues to fund. And that's agenda setting. You set your agenda through your fiscal policy. So all those combined puts people in different moods. That's how it is. And the reason why I became a Republican is that in this day and time, okay, yeah, domestic stuff is important, but have you seen the world today? And I'm mad at Obama because he's not making it better. So let's focus out there. Everybody's rights are important and all that kind of stuff. But if so-and-so place or so-and-so place gets bombed, that's going to impact us, especially in globalized world. We live in global economy, social globalism, all that kind of stuff. So it's really people's disposition and the agenda set by the different parties and the different social stances, which is what conservatism and liberalism spectrum is, this social. Anyway, with a fiscal aspect, of course, but they're intertwined anyway. But it's the position that you put the people in that causes the change in you. So you had an incredibly hardcore liberal domestic policy president when we have a, not unprecedented, but just an insane foreign state with, you know, ISIL, whatever you want to call it. So there was that clash there, and you had people looking at two different things. I'm struggling here, my job is going overseas, and overseas people are dying and they're coming here and killing me too.
So it's tough.
To say, I'm going to handle that. I'm going to handle both.
Well, he's doing a pretty good job in the Middle East right now, but I mean, just short term, we'll see what's going to happen long term. Obama just never understood the Middle East. He understood being Muslim. He just didn't understand. You know what it is? His real problem was is his daddy was Muslim. He was raised Muslim. And he was just basically having a hard time killing Muslims. He was having a hard time with it. I mean, he pre-ejaculated 4 years before he should have. That's what caused ISIS to grow. If he would have done his job and stayed with what the generals told him, there wouldn't have been any ISIS, and we wouldn't be having these
conversations. We had scandal coming out saying that military intelligence didn't want to give him the truth of the reports, like a lot of, like which happened with a lot of presidents. They wanted to give him information and reports that went along with the rhetoric of the White House. And that's another question. Do you say yes to the president, or do you tell the truth? I would feel that that would be an obvious.
Well, what you do is, that's not up to them. That's up to the president. Say, okay, General Shitface, I'm going to call the head of the CIA, and I'm going to call Kumi, and the three of us are going to meet and see if we all agree on this shit. Because one thing you can count on is the FBI and CIA rarely agree on any damn thing, and they hardly ever agree with the military. So you might as well get them all in there and let them all fight it out, and then you'll actually get to some truth. Not all the truth, mind you, but to some. But it's more than that.
Well,
I mean, as President of the United States, you have the ability to source and see what's going on. You could actually have a plane or a drone or whatever flown over an area if you want to. So, and they can't tell you no because you're the damn president. They can hem and haw and bitch, oh, we don't think it's good, Mr. Obama. Yeah, you know what? Fly the damn thing, I'm president. What did I tell you? Fly the damn thing. Don't tell anybody.
Well, that's Obama responsible for his little drone program, even though so many people.
Well, that was another thing.
But another reason why he did that was due to all the wars. He had a public sentiment of, I don't like boots on the ground. I don't like sons and daughters being killed overseas for all these foreign blah, 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 because we had the war between. So he wanted to stay out of that, and he tried his best to not put boots on the ground, even though that's what really needed to another to the
European think tank, Obama is the third most lying president we've had. Period. They're not even talking recent times. They're talking all together. Third. He's lied. He's third time. He's lied. He's the third most of any president in the history of the United States. I'm thinking, first off, how do you know that? Well, first off, how do you know that? Well, you know what George Washington was lying about. I mean, come on. Or Lincoln or anybody for that. I mean, let's be honest. You know, people always tell me, I love when someone tells me, well, Lincoln freed the slaves. I said, no, Lincoln needed warriors. I said, don't ever get confused with the fact that you got freed because he needed someone to help kick the South's ass. He was losing a war. I said, it's not because that's not – because everybody thinks that's what the war started over. Everybody, when you listen to – when you talk to millennials today, they think the revolution started, or I should say the war between the states started over slavery. But it didn't, ladies and gentlemen. We didn't get in a fight over slavery. We got in a fight who was taking
– there's a quote from Lincoln that says, I do not care about the Africans, blah, 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 blah. He should have said it to us.
And then on top of that, you know, the South was spending a ton of money, paying far more taxes than the North. Wasn't it? It had enough of it. And then later on in history, freeing the blacks became part of the argument. But in the reality of things, it's not what was going on. And every time I hear somebody say, oh, well, we got to tear this monument down because it was slavery. No, it wasn't slavery. It has nothing to do with slavery. You got to get past that. And this is nothing that bothers me. And I got to give some of the blacks in New Orleans credit for this. You know, they want to tear down a bunch of Civil War monuments. So they're going, well, wait a minute now. If we take them down, aren't we just going to forget our mistakes?
Forget.
That's right. People forget. Mm-hmm. When you do away with all the bad stuff that reminds you of what you did, you tend to forget. And then you tend to revisit.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Now, you know.
Rewrite it.
Yeah.
Rewrite that crap.
Well, you may even revisit it. You know, 100 years from now, it may happen again because you simply didn't remember how bad it was the first time. Come on, guys. We've had World War I, World War II, and we're brinking on World War III right now. You have to remember your mistakes in order for the future to make it be a sound future. And if you bury them and stick your head in the sand, it's not going to be – and look, you know, we can sit here all day and say this offends me, this offends me, this offends me. I can think of a lot of things that offends me, okay? So where is it going to stop? And where does my rights start and yours end and your rights start and their ends? It's like the LGBT, let my son go into the girls' locker room with a bunch of 16-year-old girls and change. Really? Well, where's their rights? I'm not so much worried about his rights, but where's their rights? See,
she wouldn't call him her son. She would call him her daughter because that's what she identifies with.
Her it is what she would call him.
Okay, again, I have to just put this disclaimer out. You ruined, but well, whatever. That's not that. But me, personally, again, transsexual, where you're taking hormones, you're getting implants, you're going to do your surgeries, more power to you. I love you. You're going for
it. That's all fine.
Transgender, where it's gender display, I get you, but that doesn't get you in a bathroom. I'm sorry.
This has always been my thing here. I don't give a shit what bathroom you use or what gender you are. It's never been a thing for me. I grew up in New Orleans, so look, it's fine by me. But what I'm saying is where's my 10-year-old, 11-year-old, 12-year-old granddaughter's rights? Where's the parents of that child's rights? If they don't want that child to see that guy's thing swinging in the breeze, that's their right. So what everybody's trying to tell me is here is the one person's right supersedes. So one guy's rights supersedes all the women's rights in the countries. Well, that's just sexist, isn't it?
It's complicated because, again,
it's a
republic, you cannot ignore the rights of the minority for the majority. And
rights. It's not about ignoring rights. This is about forcing your rights and your views on someone else. There's no rights
really
going on here because you can go to any bathroom you want. Most people are not even going to say anything. It's you're wanting as a child to go into this. No, it's you're wanting to force your views and your rights on these children. These children may be Christians, they may be Muslim, they may be whatever, but they also have rights. So one person's rights can't supersede the other person's rights. So this is a real easy problem to fix, okay? Once you're 18, you use any bathroom you want to use, help yourself. Or this is an even easier fix, let's just go to unisex bathrooms and we don't have to have this argument ever again.
You know, with what you just said about not seeing the little diddly swinging in your kid, how does a unisex bathroom solve that problem? Because if anything, you'd have a bunch of little diddlies swinging around a bunch of flowers.
And look, okay, we'll just flip-flop this argument for the sake, because we're dying a bit. So here we go. Here's this hot chick. She's now in a guy's bathroom. Now, she might be, you know, trying to make herself look like a guy, but still all the boobs and everything else is there. So she's going to strip down in front of a bunch of 16-year-old, 14-year-old, 12-year-old boys. And what do y'all think is going to happen?
That's a locker room versus bathroom.
But still, well, yeah, that's what they were saying. That's what got, whatchamacallit in trouble, what's the retail giant, Target? That's what got them almost, cost them all their stock. It's one of those things that you just got to kind of go wait, all right? And then there is the thing that, you know, are you letting perverts into this? Because, you know, a lot of people cross-dress. That doesn't mean they're planning on changing sexes. It just means they're effed up in the head. So they're
hey,
I'm sorry. They are.
RuPaul has a wife and kids and looks cisgender at times and then goes trans.
Chris Owens is probably the oldest transvestite on the planet. She may be full now. She may have done had a change, but Chris Owens is
trans. It's not full, that's transsexual.
No, she's probably,
everybody.
I think she's had it all done now. But she started
that
out.
That means she's transsexual. That doesn't mean she's a transvestite or transgender. That means she's transsexual. If you've gone through the process of hormone surgery and all that kind of stuff, therapy, because they're mandated on therapy.
Okay. Maybe somebody should just come up with a hormone. You know what? Maybe when a guy or a girl feels this way, maybe we should start giving them hormone shots and see what happens. I'm just curious.
That's not gender display. That's, again, that's a sexuality thing. Which
hormones hormones tend to push gender identity a lot, so, you know, a lot more testosterone.
Sex and gender are different. Don't make me defend all this crazy stuff, Joe.
I have seen this myself. I have seen women going through trans life that are not taking hormones and the ones that are taking hormones. They're different people. And, I mean, it's like freaking night and day different people.
Well, if after you go through menopause, you're not producing the same amount of estrogen as the woman,
That's why doctors don't like hormone therapy, because hormones change who you are. If you start taking them on a regular basis, you'll change. You could be one of these guys.
Guess what, Joe? You know what else? Guess what happened to you, Joe? I can tell you something that happened to you. When you had your kids and your family decreased the level of testosterone in your body, which leads to a more stable family unit.
Every 7 years, guys get a decrease in testosterone. That's why they lose their hair and other things. That's why they become less violent as they get older. But it proves my point. Young guys are way more ambitious and violent and are more likely to go run into things head first. Older guys are not. And there's no difference in size or strength.
A lot of estrogen causes the same effect, by the way. But
that's the whole point. That's what I was saying. If you increase the level of hormones, you may increase the level. It's only going to work for some people anyway. It's not going to work for everybody. Some people, no matter what you do, are going to identify as that other sex. They're just going to. But not
because
all.
Because it's a mental thing. It's not always a biochemical thing.
Yeah, well, if it's a mental thing, that means it can be fixed.
That does not mean it can be fixed.
Actually,
when I say mental, that does not mean...
Let me tell you what Stanford and Harvard have to say about this. There is nothing like that in the future that cannot be fixed. Because sexual...
It can be changed.
No.
I don't like the word fixed.
It has to be
fixed.
Fixed
is the wrong word. Changed is the word, Joe.
Change. It's a problem. It's a sexual deviation. It's not the norm.
Deviations are not problems.
Deviations are problems. That's what creates... pedophiles and things along those lines. Sexual deviation.
No, you did it. Oh, he just compared the LGBTQ to pedophiles. Oh, my God. I'm sorry, dear listeners. I'm trying here, guys. Oh.
If you're an LGBTQ or any other LGBT for that matter, and you say that this
LGBTQ?
You did not choose,
you gotta ask the question.
If you did not choose this and you said that you were made like this, then you gave every pedophile in the world an out. Because once you said that means the same thing, because they're both sexual deviations, both of them. Do you
might not like the comparisons, but it's a science fact. They're both sexual deviations.
Actually, so, okay, psychologically, we removed pedophilia, homosexuality from a disease to a deviation. A disease is different. We still consider, there's different kinds of naughty children love, different word. Love is the wrong word. Naughty children attraction. And it's not all pedophilia. Pedophilia is for the youngest ones. But anyway, all of those are still considered, except, you know what's funny about that? I'm not defending them at all. And I love you, little one. I will kill for you. ancient Greece, you know, it's not pedophilia. It's the one with adolescents. You know, you're 15, 14, 16-year-olds, gay and younger. They did that. That was normal. But you know what's sad? They also were okay with rape, so I can't exactly use that example. But the matter of the fact is, a lot of things change with social norms. But in terms of what you said, okay, you cited the numerous studies that came out saying that there's a disposition towards homosexuality, and then eventually blah, blah, blah. So it's a nature and nurture thing. Naturally, you have that not necessarily inclination, but you have that openness towards those experiences, and then nurture-wise, aka life, leads you to outright being homosexual. So there was also a TED Talk about some of the links between male homosexuality and the state of the mother. I'll show it to you. I'll link it all over the place, but it was really interesting in terms of the disposition of a straight male child versus a homosexual male child and what they do for the family unit.
They proved that a long time ago.
Yeah, and what the state of the mother would do in the... Yeah, go ahead.
Mothers can cause their children to be gay, both female and male.
Quote-unquote cause. It's the release of hormones that could potentially influence. You can't say it's a cause.
You can't say
it's a biological cause and then say that at the end of the day it's a nurture choice. You have a disposition. You can't say they cause the gayness and then say they have the disposition towards the openness. We have to have consistency in our arguments here, Joe. So, yes, mothers can cause the disposition of openness towards homosexual relations. That is how we will phrase that, to be consistent. But at the end of the day, I wouldn't say it's a choice when there is a natural component and the nurture is on top of it, because I want to compare it to different mental diseases, but there are plenty of people that have the potential, have the disposition to have a certain mental disease, but don't have it. What is the word triggered? Stop using triggered for your little social crap. Triggered is a serious thing. Anyway.
But see, the real problem with all this is the disposition we're talking about is usually less than 8 to 12%. So any way it goes, you either have to make a physical choice to walk that path or be driven in that path. Look, you know, one of the things when I went to debate the lesbian coalition in San Francisco, one of the first things I learned.
I just love bringing that up, and we destroyed them.
Because I whooped them, because they got educated. But one of the first things I learned was that one, you know, you can be driven to this. And I was kind of put off by that when I first heard it. I was like, well, what do you mean you can be driven to it? You can be driven to it. But sexual abuse on children can cause this. And I hate terming it like that, but it's a true statement. It can cause it.
It is true. That is validated.
Women being abused by men, or men being abused by men, or vice versa, or either way, or women being abused by women abusing men or women, either way, can cause this. It can, first off, give you hate for the other sex, or it can just make you feel that that's the way it should be. But regardless, those cases should be fixable. Now, before going on, wait, hush your mouth. Before we go.
No, hold on. Don't hush the woman. Say, wait, let me finish.
Hush.
And I will let you finish. Oh, no. If you say hush, then I can't hush. If you say, let me finish, don't be rude, then I'll let you finish. Because I do
By the time you shut up, I forget what the hell I'm saying.
Abuse leading to being pushed in that direction. Yeah, abuse leading to being pushed in that direction. You were talking to the lesbian coalition, schooling them, murdering them.
Well, they you know, come on, because the first thing story they let out with was is, oh, it's not a choice. We're born this way. And I'm like, really? No, you're not born that way. You may have chose to go that way, or you may have chose this, that, or the other thing, but you weren't born that way. That would be like saying that animals in the kingdom are born gay, and there's no proof to that anywhere, ever.
And the psychological textbooks, they like to say, there's a lot of evidence of gay behavior, blip, 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 blip. However, they fail to remind people that a lot of it isn't a sexual thing, including rape. It's a dominance thing. It's a social construct, and it's seen in social animals. But in terms of the whole choosing versus born that way, when your natural disposition is triggered at a young age, you don't know. It doesn't feel like a choice. It really doesn't. And in terms of how malleable, they can be resilient, all, but as malleable as children are, I wouldn't say everything is a choice. Especially if you're not sexually conscious as a time of your I don't want to say manifestation, but in terms of your exposure or encounter or activated disposition. So in that way, especially if you have the disposition, and like you said, it doesn't even have to be abuse. It could just be I don't want to use big words. I want everybody to be able to relate to this. It could be a negative relation to the opposite sex, especially if, you know, you're doing you, you're a kid, you're doing you. And then all these people are engaging in cisgender, what we call standards, what we standardize relations, and they're not necessarily interested in you for whatever reason, or you're not open to the interest of anybody. And then somebody of the opposite sex, you feel that, the same sex, you feel that connection. You have intimacy, especially when a relationship has three different components, commitment, passion, and intimacy. And you're not feeling that from the opposite sex, but you are feeling that in a same-sex relationship, and then you come into your sexual identity, and you've only had those sort of relations. And blah, blah, blah. There are a numerous, immense amount of ways that a human being can come into their sexuality before they actually are conscious of it, that can make it feel like it's not a choice whatsoever, because it's not, because that's just how it's gone about for you. And I don't want to necessarily talk about personal experience, but it doesn't feel like a choice, Joe. I love my man, but
unfortunately, the science don't agree with you. They think it's a choice.
And are these people actually part of the community that lives this? Because let's say 90 to 85, to be frank, of the population is still cisgender and heterosexual. Who are they actually saying? And one thing I want to cite about a variety of all these studies, there's hardcore studies, not correlation questionnaires. A lot of those studies are done on college students. One of the things that we have to read in statistics and method and design in terms of studies is weird science. Are we skewing everybody, since most of our research is done on the population that we have held captive for their grade, aka college students, which do not represent the majority of the population whatsoever? Okay, so we have to look at all these different details when we're examining these studies. What is their sample size? Where did they get it from? Was it a random selection? What was their method? Was it sound? Is it that? And then is it representational? There are so many different aspects. So I don't necessarily trust a lot of the, quote-unquote, let's call it gay science, especially when it's done primarily by heterosexuals who you can empathize all you want to, but you're still not. You're not one of them. And when it's hard enough for a bisexual, transsexual, homosexual person to live in a dominantly heterosexual community, and let alone worldwide, where you'll be killed, you have your own warped view of yourself, and you're trying. I had to explain to a family member that was very put off by the whole gay pride movement in terms of the parade. I don't necessarily like the parade when you're walking around naked or barely naked, close to naked, in public. That's not cool. I don't care what you're doing. But the family member was unhappy, saying, why did they got to put it in your face? And I'm like, because heterosexuality is in their face all the time. So they're already different. Then you're going to have a heterosexual try to understand them and try to actually put it together in a scientific point of view. The only valid thing that we have to say about the other sexualities is that they have an enlarged hippocampus, which is responsible, honestly, it's a little complex, but that's responsible, but for emotional digestion, let's say, mental digestion, and some memory side, because emotions are related to certain memories, blah, blah, blah. So, no. It's complicated, and we don't know, and it's hard to know when that group still doesn't necessarily know themselves.
No, no, no. people want to make it complicated, but it's not complicated. None of it's complicated. It's
pretty straightforward. You don't want to make it complicated because you just want to say it's a disease, it's a deviation, it's wrong.
I don't call it any of that. All I say, it's a sexual deviation. I didn't call it a disease, a virus, or any other thing. All I said, it's a deviation from the norm.
You said something about sexual deviations as
sexual
a problem.
Deviation.
What's the word you used?
Sexual deviation.
You said
the word I used.
There was something negative you said about sexual deviation.
When something is normal and something.
And then compared to pedophilia.
Different. Yeah, but it doesn't matter what it is. If when you're talking about sex, there's normal. Okay? There's normal, believe me. Heterosexual is considered the norm at 98%. That's considered a norm. Anything outside of that box is considered a sexual deviation. It's abnormal.
You know what's also a sexual deviation, Joe? Oral sex. And does the heterosexual community frown upon that? Yeah. Good God.
Actually, that's still legal in like 20 states or something. But anyway.
Thank you. So are we really going to talk crap about sexual deviation? Do you want to give up oral sex because it's a deviation?
That's
Joe.
Not sexual deviation. That's not a sexual deviation still because it's still between – it's still heterosexual. As long as it's not male and male, female and female, it's still –
Okay, so anal sex isn't a sexual deviation, even though there is no part of this. Ooh, come on now. Well, we know Joe's, we know Joe's position on it. Oh, Joe likes anal. I guess we learned something today.
I couldn't resist that. Anyway,
Joe likes anal, everybody.
Anyway, it doesn't matter to me personally, guys, because I don't care if you hang yourself and do it. It doesn't matter to me. I have no problem with any, as long as it's legal and you're not, you know, forcing somebody. I don't give a shit who you're sleeping with. It's not my
personal. But it's not legal in some. You know what makes me angry? If you look up, don't ask me why I looked this up. Okay, if you look up the sexual age of consent in the United States, for so many places, homosexual acts of sexuality, the level is 18. It's 16 and 14 in certain states, but it's still 18, and it's 18 internationally, and in some places you get killed for it. So, no. It's hypocritical, and yeah. And when it comes to your argument, Joe, about whole bathroom situation, wait till they're adults, I wouldn't necessarily call 18 adults, especially since your brain
I don't even really consider a 21-year-old. Today's the further you go back in time,
we're living longer. We're living longer.
In Lily's generation, adultism is about 30. That's about when we start considering around 30. My generation was about 23, 24, 25. For me personally, it was 30. Okay, I'm not even going to lie to you. And really, really, truly,
well,
I'm
not
still
wrong.
Having some issues with that now. So.
Well, you're not wrong because middle age moved from 30 to 40 because people are living longer. So you have
now
the capacity
you got
to stay in your youth for longer.
When I was a kid, 50, you were dead. When I was a young man, 60, you were dead. When I became in my 30s, 70, you were dead. Now it's about 90. So really, middle age is 55. Middle age starts around 55 now. Because women look fabulous well into their 60s these days. So, I mean, all you got to do is look at what's her name, the model at age 63. She's just stunning. The thing
we're
about
going on looks, Joe? Super hot guy can pass away from
what
a heart
what
attack
I'm saying is
30.
What I'm saying is you're not limited by age anymore as far as the way you appear on the outside. And, of course, by then you're smarter, faster, and brighter for the most part. So you get a little better life. Carol Houston writes in. She's writing in from Ontario, Canada. Hey, up there in Canada. Y'all some brave people because of the topic we're talking about. that is true.
Whatever to the news. Let's just talk about this.
Wait, hold on. I did promise we would get on to the white and black privilege thing. It ain't going to be tonight because Lily and I only got about 5 minutes left. There's no way to get in that conversation. Maybe not next week, maybe the week after. We'll schedule a show just about it. I know because there was a lot of posts going around and a lot of reading going on. How can you be white privilege when you're the majority of welfare recipients and blah, blah, blah. Okay, because white privilege is a misnomer. There is white privilege basically for anybody over $200,000 or more. But there isn't below. Any time somebody tells you that they have no idea what they're talking about. Obviously, they have never.
Well, really, it's a middle class thing. Really, it's a middle class thing because I know this article written by this poor white man who was offended at the term white privilege because, you know, you're poor as crap. You don't have any privilege, you don't feel it. Yeah, but what I would want to say to him is be in poverty as a white man versus a black man and then talk to me about
you're screwed.
It.
You're way worse off. No, no, no. You see, you're wrong there. You were way off. Affirmative action gives a black man an advantage over the white man, hands down. They go to school based on their color. They get jobs based on their color. They get quite a lot of things based on just color. Where the white kid ain't.
Okay, so
right?
On that point,
hey,
ask a poor white guy and ask a poor black guy what affirmative action is. Unfortunately, on that point, ask him what it is.
Affirmative action is discrimination, is what it is. Any way you look at it, it's discrimination.
It was meant to, it was meant to right the wrongs of yesteryear.
Yeah, well, we're not in that year anymore. We're in 2017 now. And in 2017, it is discrimination. Because now you've got, if it was just blacks getting it, you might, I might be a little softer on it. But blacks and Hispanic get it, y'all make up between the two of y'all almost 50% of the population. So let me get this right. 50%.
You just stick with the Latinos because black numbers are going down because we're mixing in.
They are going down. Y'all were 17, y'all are 13, 14 now. But it ain't that. It's the Hispanics is, you know, coming in. And it's not even that. Blacks are doing the same thing whites did. Whites started moving in the suburbs. They started having less children. They got off the farms. They got out of there. They started having less children. They started one child, two, for child, two. You go to some black families still have big families, but most of my black friends only have one or two or three kids. Where in the old days, both whites and blacks would have 10 kids each, that shit's going away.
I used to work on the farm.
but what I mean is, all of that's going away, so you're seeing their numbers steady down some, too. Hispanics, for some reason, haven't hit that point yet. I don't know why. I'd have to go probably do 6 months' worth of research to find out, but obviously
they
Well,
I can tell you for a fact, being from a black family who two generations ago, like, my grandfather had six siblings, so there's seven of them total. Grandma, I can't even go into that. There's a bunch of different family members. There were six or seven. One doesn't count because they were in Connecticut where you didn't have birth control. But a lot of it was to work. You are going to work because we need farm hands. And like you said, you get off the farm. You go to cities. You don't need that many kids. And it's freaking expensive to have that many kids. So, yeah, when you start to move up a little bit, or unfortunately the black folks move into a worse situation, I would consider, an equally negative situation but different, where you get your social rights but you're still economically not as well off. It's expensive to have all those kids. You don't need farm hands anymore. So yeah, you move from a different position. And don't call me racist because there was an article that came out not too long ago. There was an article that came out not too long ago talking about Trump and his whole border wall thing hurting different agricultural sectors because of the fact that we need workers. And you white people, you black people, you Asian people, y'all don't want to do it. We need the Latinos back
That's
to do
right.
it.
That's right, you damn Asian, black, and white lazy people.
That's some hard work. That's some hard work.
I'm
I don't care
just,
what you say.
I'm just saying. Guys, I know we're getting out of here because Christina George is following us real quick with Paranormal Connections. But a lot of stuff going on, and we will tackle the privilege thing because – there are privileges on both sides, so it's something. But if you can't have an honest discussion about it, there's no reason to talk about it because anytime you hear somebody say white privilege, you have to stop and go, really? Obviously, you haven't been in poor white neighborhoods before. It ain't no different than the ghetto is. So I've been in both, so I can tell you that for a fact. In New Orleans, they are actually people in the bayou far poorer than any black city will ever be. They live in little shacks.
What about the blacks out there?
There are
blacks out there too.
Nah, there ain't none. I don't know why they're
not in your bayou.
They ain't allowed in a bayou. Sorry. They gotta live up.
Ah, well, you answered your own question. You. Wow.
Man, they can live in my bayou. I'm not talking about my bayou. I got. Matter of fact, I live in one of the melting pots right now. See, I'm a little melting pot, whatever you want to call me. Then my people across the street are Oriental, the ones down the street are Hispanic, and a brother down the street is black. So. But they all rich, so they all, they're not, they privileged. Their kids
yeah, because Joe lives in the rich neighborhood. John lives in the rich neighborhood. The super high ceilings.
Just to make this point before we get out of here, the way you know that the white privilege thing is a farce is because, like I've told y'all before, there is no race war. There's a class war going on, and there is privilege.
Class war.
Anybody above 200,000, don't matter what color you are. If you're a black man or a white man or a Hispanic man or Asian man and you're above $200,000 a year, You've got the influences. You've met the people. Your children are already in the right schools. No one's going to hate on them because of color, because they're in upper echelon schools. Nobody's going to bother with them. It's only the poor people, the lower middle class and down, that get shit on. And they all get shit on.
My rebuttal would be someone like Michelle Obama talking about being in the Ivy League schools and feeling her blackness and I didn't have that experience as well.
Anyway, do you think Will Smith's kids are privileged? Do you think
they're wealthy? I understand your class war point. What I'm saying is they get both, especially when you had Obama's daughter, Malia, and all these people saying,
like,
this ape going to Harvard, this little going to Harvard, blah, 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 and your daddy just blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but maybe you should live in somewhere like Washington State, but people forget. You know, everyone says things like, oh, white privilege, really? Tell me about white privilege in Baltimore or Detroit or New Orleans or Chicago or New York itself. There's no such thing. Blacks far outnumber the whites, and they get discriminated against on a regular basis. So you can't even say there's not discrimination against whites.
You have poor whites in those areas, and they're...
But that's what
they're
saying. People don't realize this. We've been so taught to hate on race that we have not realized that both the whites and blacks and Hispanics, when you're poor, you're poor. It doesn't matter what color your skin is. You're poor.
My only real rebuttal, since I do agree with you, is that if you're affluent and black and you go into certain stores because they see you're black, they'll still think you're going to steal.
They might.
Even though you can buy that store.
I can't argue that. If they're in the wrong neighborhoods when they do it, now you see.
Affluent stores. Unless you have bought out the store, you just walk in to a Saks Fifth ad and they're like, you want to steal something? Excuse me, I could buy your store. Shut up.
But that must be cities with smaller black. You're going to see that in New Orleans. In blacks go anywhere.
This used to be D.C. Chocolate City, and you could still see it. But anyway, y'all, we got to get out of here.
But we will get into this. Lily and I will get into this more in depth. We might bring in a couple of guests, let them get in depth. Maybe we'll add some more color to the chat that night, bring in maybe some Hispanics, some Asian. We'll make it a multicolor. Whatever, I don't know what the hell you'd call it.
Multiracial, baby, like my child.
Let me tell y'all something, guys. For you, I seen that comment on Facebook just now. You're taught racism, people. Okay, you're not born racist.
Yes.
Go to any nursery anywhere. You see kids, don't matter what color they're playing around, having a ball, best friends. They don't know about hating a white man, hating a black man until mama says or daddy says, "Oh no, you're supposed to hate that SOB."
Or society.
Or society, because society does it a lot, cops and stuff like that. Just remember that, people, because we don't have to be racist. It's when you're being racist, you're chosen to be racist. You know, it's hard, I know, sometimes, because we like to try each other, but for the most part, like in New Orleans, the racism doesn't exist the way people think racism is. Most down here, what you see is blacks killing blacks, whites killing whites. Usually when they're together, like in the Quarter or Mardi Gras, everybody gets along great. It's sometimes I think they even go out of their way to make sure there is no racial tension going on. It's just the way it is. It's not just here. I've seen it in other cities. I've seen it in Baltimore. Even with all the protesting going on, they still manage, the white people could march with the blacks without getting hurt or beat up or anything. So the structures
are... That's how it used to be before Shay's Rebellion, when the poor whites and the black slaves got together to overthrow their overlords, and then they were like, oh, no,
we got to separate it all out. We just don't have to remember as a society that if you're in a certain financial class and below, you need to stick together, because when you start fighting over race and sex, you're getting your ass handed to you. They're keeping you distracted.
Oh, and one thing, yes, they are. It's Machiavelli, the prince, divide and conquer. And one thing about the races melding together and having babies, you're at a better genetic state because the two genes that are very different come together, and it's called hybrid vigor, but whatever. You come together and make a stronger human being with a better immune system. Don't listen to the racist guys. Come together, folks. Don't hate on my mulatto baby.
Maria Wishel writes in from Connecticut. Really, the racist? Racist what? Did I miss something in this conversation?
That one.
Okay, you're gonna have to.
Because my half white child. And my pride in my black family. I'm racist. Cool lady.
We got to go, Maria, because we got a show following us. I see the host is already in the room trying to get the hell off the radio.
Tina! It's super amazing, beautiful, sexy, white Christina George, who's awesome. Thank you, whatever to you, where you're from. Paranormal connections.
Because I got to say, I've known Lily a while now. I don't think she's racist. She might be mean bitch sometimes, but she ain't racist. And that's
I'm city racist. Okay, everybody has their own thing.
Everybody's got their own kind of races. There you go. I like that. Everybody got their own kind of races. Anyway, we're going to get out of here. I heard the baby chanting Trump, 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 so that always means it's time.
Boy!
She's chanting Trump. Her baby's got a thing for orange-haired Trump. He got that orange. You know what it is. He looks like a clown. She wants to squeeze his fat nose. I know it's coming.
There you go. No, Trump will probably throw her hat that he signed into the audience because he did that today at the Easter hunt. Trump was horrible, and so was Melania, unfortunately. Anyway, go ahead. Next time.
I didn't even watch the Easter thing. I think we got nuclear weapons falling out of skies and shit.
I was on Facebook for some. Oh, and I do plan to, Joe, just FYI, I do plan to come on tomorrow night because one of our hosts is going to be talking about.
That's right. You're going to be on with Greg. You're on with Gregory tomorrow night. I forgot about that. Yeah, Lily will be joining Greg Miller on Voice of the People. Tuesday night, I believe, Tuesday night edition, so be sure to check that out and come check it out. Oh, speaking of that, I'm going to be on, what is that show, In the Desert? Oh, man, now I forgot the damn name. How can I forget the name of it? Anyway, April 26th, I'll get y'all the details. The one Art Bell used to host. I don't know if he still hosts it or not. I think there's a lady hosting it. I have to be sure of it. It sounds like a lot of fun. I'm going to be on April 26th. It's a midnight show, so be sure to catch it. Also, I was on with Dave Scott this Friday. We talked about alien abduction stuff. Oh, yeah, lots of it. Be sure to go check it out. I was very forced, Dave. I think he liked it, too.
Speaking of alien abduction, we know somebody that needs to be abducted and probed. And anyway, thank you for listening to Flip That
I actually heard they're going to have to do something else because he enjoyed it too much.
Anyway,
that's not listening to the audience. I have not a clue what Lily and I are talking about at this. Anyway, guys, good night. Enjoy. Coming up next, Christina George with Paranormal Connections. Be sure to stay tuned. Following her, Spaced Out Radio with Dave Scott. Be sure to check them out. Be sure to check out the weekly lineup. A lot of great shows, a lot of good hosts. And I am still looking. I'm actually looking for two hosts for Saturday night. Oh, I thought you were sending me something sexy. I get a phone number. I see an instant message pop up. I thought you were sending me something good. I see a phone number. What is that? That's some photos or something. I'm telling you, I get abused.
Joe is married.
That's not what I'm talking about. Anyway, what's I got to do with anything? These youngins, you got to teach these youngins right.
Anyway. I tried. Joe's wifey tried.
She's mean. I won't argue that. Anyway, we're going to get out of here, guys and girls. I hope you all really enjoyed this show. Be sure to check it out every week. We are here. You can catch Jim and I on Thursday nights. Be sure to go check out the Saturday night show. It was a lot of fun. A lot of crazy hosts ranting out a lot of crazy crap. And we did discuss whether the world was going to end or not. So be sure to check it out. Really? Any last words before we get out of here? Okay, I'm
kind of racist, but not in the way you're thinking, lady. Anyway. We'll get into city racism some other time. It's a thing.
Okay. It's a thing. I'm saying goodbye, Christina. Christina's like, get off the air, Joe.
Christina, you love me too. Okay, I'm sorry.
She's going to love both of us if we don't get off the air. Anyway, it's always rough on her, guys. Thank God she's got a little run over time after us. Anyway, we're going to get out of here again. Good night, everybody. Thanks for listening to Flipside Light, episode 300 or 301. Be sure to go check them all out. They're great episodes. I see the other chat room is filling out. Oh, look at that cute Renee's face in there. By the way, guys and girls, what I'm talking about is we do have the Pal Talk Virtual Auditorium. We also have a chat room on Spreak, so you can check them out, either one you want to check out and hang out and chat with us and say hi, that you love us and all that good stuff. Also, in the chat room on Pal Talk, Big Show is – he's got Star Wars on. What is it? Star Wars Hope, so the first one, so be sure to check it out. Anyway, guys, I'm out of here. Good night, everybody. Have fun. See y'all sometime soon, I'm sure.